Count him not among your friends who will retail your privacies to the world. Man, what a line. I wish I could speak with that sort of confidence. Andor is great. While many recent Star Wars media seem to be going through the motions of storytelling to deliver underwhelming fan service, Andor is a gripping spy thriller that could easily be set in World War II, or the present day, about normal people trying to live their lives under an increasingly oppressive regime, and the precarious, flickering embers of a unified resistance to that regime. Where the first Star Wars films were a fun, bombastic romp of good guys fighting bad guys in space, Andor examines how individuals with drastically different values and visions for the future can still somehow coalesce into a single rebellion against an empire that isn't just one cackling evil wizard driving a Death Star, but a slew of ambitious bureaucrats and bootlickers trying to advance their careers at any cost. The show's titular protagonist, Cassian Andor, for all his heroics, is kind of a random nobody who gets swept up in events. The guy who actually does the sweeping, the Axis about whom the show's story really turns, is Luthen Rail, an antiquities dealer on the Imperial homeworld who leads a secret life, coordinating, convincing, and coercing others into numerous plots to dismantle and destroy the Empire, orchestrating everything from fundraising galas to guerrilla warfare. Luthen is the quintessential paranoid spymaster, rasping orders without explanation, and refusing to divulge anything to even his closest allies unless absolutely necessary for them to achieve their part in his machinations.
Someone with Krieger? Someone at ISB? Maybe there's someone here with me?
What are the choice?
Who is it? Who is it?
Luthen's unwavering commitment to secrecy is well-founded. The show repeatedly demonstrates how dangerous it is for any of its protagonists, including Andor himself, to get in the Empire's way. It doesn't sugarcoat the imprisonment, torture, trauma, and death that are routine for any member of the fledgling rebellion who can be picked off individually if their secrets get out. This is a remarkable departure from many of the other films that Disney lists alongside Andor in its catalog. Tangled, Mulan, Frozen, Aladdin, Beauty and the Beast, The Little Mermaid. In these stories, secrets are just narrative complications. A bit of dramatic tension to be unraveled at the beginning of the third act to catapult us into the climax, after which everyone can breathe easy now that everything's out in the open. I mean, everyone except the villains. In her 1998 book, The Secret Life of Families, Dr. Evan Imber Black notes a historic trend in the way popular media has portrayed secrets, which might help to explain why Andor stands out among other Disney shows and movies from the past few decades. Imber Black was something of an expert on both keeping and revealing secrets. Her lifetime of work as a family therapist required discretion and confidentiality, but the cases her patients permitted her to recount in her book involved some of the biggest, most dramatic and revelatory secrets you can imagine, from adults discovering their parents weren't biological parents to the Catholic Church's massive sexual abuse scandals. In the 1980s, she noticed a cultural shift toward transparency being an unambiguous good, a new urgency about disclosing secrets, even highly stigmatized or damaging secrets that might have cowed people into silence in earlier times. There were clear political influences in this shift. LGBTQ communities were bravely shedding cultural norms of remaining closeted. Survivors of family abuse were beginning to come forward to tell their stories and demand justice. And the pervasive shame that had kept AIDS from being recognized and addressed as a public health crisis was finally beginning to buckle. Marginalized communities were discovering newfound strength by confronting their stigmas in public. But Imber Black also notes the explosive popularity of afternoon talk shows, featuring dramatic interviews with celebrities confessing their most intimate struggles to Oprah Winfrey or Larry King, and non-celebrities confessing their secret lives to friends, family, and a cheering studio audience on Jerry Springer or Ricky Lake. She says, "As the arena of the unmentionable became smaller and smaller, a more dangerous cultural shift was also taking place. The growth of the simplistic belief that telling a secret, regardless of context, is automatically beneficial. This belief, promulgated by television talk shows and media exposés, has ripped secrecy and openness away from their necessary moorings in connected and empathic relationships. If cultural norms once made shameful secrets out of too many happenings in human life, we are now struggling with the reverse assumption, that opening secrets, no matter how, when, or to whom, is morally superior and automatically healing. For Ember Black, these sorts of shows can't help but minimize how much care and effort it takes to heal when a secret is divulged. To create a marketable entertainment product, they end up implying that anyone can easily unburden themselves on national television and achieve acceptance and closure in the next 55 minutes, plus commercials, rather than carefully deciding how to break the news and to whom, then painstakingly rebuilding trust and mending relationships over years, or decades, or never. Pop psychology and self-help books reinforce this message, suggesting that secret-keeping was universally toxic for relationships and emotional well-being and should be dealt with as quickly as possible. According to Ember Black, this has led an astounding number of misguided people to ruin weddings or holiday gatherings by dramatically announcing family secrets to the room, folding their arms, and expecting everything to get better in time for dessert. She argues that this cavalier treatment of secret-telling as entertainment also flattens the complexities of why secrets come into being. She says, "No family wakes up one morning and says, 'Let's make a secret.' Searching for the origins of what is concealed and what is revealed leads inevitably beyond the boundaries of any given family into a wider world of history, culture, power, and politics. Sometimes, secrecy is the last refuge for people who would otherwise be targets for those forces." Ember Black notes that slaves in the U.S. would conceal marriage or communal gatherings from their masters, as both carried the potential for severe punishment or death if discovered, and that domestic abuse shelters routinely keep their occupants' locations secret, so their abusers can't hurt them for seeking help. Vulnerable people may not always be in a position to defend themselves from powerful individuals and institutions, but you can't project power over something you can't find. Just ask the snipers in this picture. Somewhere. This principle also works in the other direction. Ember Black's work with the Catholic Church revealed just how effective an internal culture of secrecy can be at shielding powerful institutions from accountability to the public they purportedly serve.
No notes. No records. None of you were here.
She suggests the fairly recent obsession with living secret-free, no matter what, is trying to create a one-size-fits-all answer to a question that is necessarily nuanced, requiring a careful assessment of the individuals involved, their relationships, how secrets impact them, the context and power dynamics at play, and the way secrets can create space to live free of consequences, which are sometimes just as bad as you might imagine. It's certainly harder to be judicious about what we divulge to whom, to game out who really needs to know what, or who might spill the beans, and to keep enough of a poker face so we're not giving anything away. Fortunately, the notion that keeping secrets is always this onerous emotional burden that leaves people anxious, distant, and depressed might stem from a misunderstanding. In a 2023 paper, Michael Slepian and colleagues waded into the abundant literature on the psychology of secret keeping and argued that we've been missing an important distinction. Contrary to the cultural narrative that secrets are intrinsically toxic, poisoning mental health and relationships and so on, maybe the psychological toll of secret keeping isn't really about the cognitive effort it takes to hide something, but all the rumination and stress about what might happen if you accidentally tell someone, imagining worst case scenarios and rehearsing how awful they might be again and again. Slepian's research team polled people who were keeping positive secrets, like surprise parties or a wedding proposal, and found that they tended to feel more energetic and upbeat than others whose good news was already out in the open, regardless of whether they intended to tell everyone they knew or keep it to themselves. They argue this effect is best explained by the fact that keeping good secrets is intrinsically motivated, while keeping bad secrets is externally motivated. If you're keeping something to yourself because you're scared of the consequences if it ever gets out, it's understandable that you'd start to feel powerless and trapped. If you're waiting for the right time to divulge it for maximum effect, like a killer Secret Santa gift, or because it's something special and private, just for you to enjoy, like a pet name for your spouse, it probably makes you feel more powerful and in control. Sometimes the distinction is just a matter of how we frame the situation. One person might think of their secret boyfriend in terms of how mad their parents would be if they found out. Another might imagine the looks on their friends' faces when they finally clue them in. They'll both experience the challenges of trying to maneuver around the truth, but one is much more likely to collapse into an anxious mess, while the other might just get a little pep in their step. So, at least according to Slepian, the hardest thing about keeping a secret is just coping with our tendency to obsess about it, to work ourselves into a sort of paranoid mess by perpetually worrying about what might happen if we screw up. Helpfully, he's collected a number of strategies to potentially mitigate that stress, if we realistically weigh the pros and cons and decide it would be better not to tell everyone. First, he recommends developing some sort of mindfulness practice. Cultivating some measure of control over what occupies our attention and how we react to it can do a lot to short-circuit that corrosive cycle of anxiety. If the secret does pop into your thoughts, it can be helpful to focus on the positive aspects of what you're trying to achieve by keeping it, rather than what you stand to lose if you blab. If you find yourself trying to navigate a tough conversation without revealing sensitive information, rather than trying to outright deceive people, which can be taxing, he recommends practicing the artful dodge, redirecting the conversation to more comfortable territory, or answering questions that are only tangentially related to the ones about the sensitive subject. Where is the rebel base? Well, we thought about building one on Tatooine, but it's so hard to keep things working with all the sand there. Have you guys figured out how to desert-proof your speeders? Finally, if you choose to confide in someone, both Slepian and Imber Black are adamant that you should think long and hard about who you choose to tell, how much you need to tell them, whether they're in any position to help you if they know, and what risks you're both taking on by sharing the information. Sharing a secret may seem like a way to show someone you trust and care about them, but it's also an imposition. You're relying on your confidant to keep their mouth shut, and to share the consequences if either of you gets caught. If you confide in someone from a social circle with high exposure to the secret, they may have to maintain a stoic poker face every day as they talk to friends, family, coworkers, or neighbors who might desperately want to know, and they might not have the cognitive toolbox necessary to avoid spiraling into a secret-keeping depression or confessing instantly. It might be uncomfortable to keep secrets from the people closest to us, but it's not more comfortable for them to do the same thing. For many of us who grew up in a society where openness was treated as an unambiguous good, that sort of discretion doesn't come naturally. It's certainly not what made social media and live streaming content popular. For decades, we've been encouraged, not just by movies and TV shows, but by apps, services, and devices, to share everything we can with everybody we can, sometimes in exchange for convenience, but sometimes out of a sense of something like obligation. Isn't it better to live your life out in the open, to be part of the conversation, to express yourself and record for posterity? That time you paid your friend back for pizza on Venmo? We readily offer up every corner of our most intimate moments to scrutiny, by friends, by strangers, by companies and governments, without even thinking. With the proliferation of surveillance technology, from smart speakers that are constantly listening to doorbells that are always watching, keeping secrets may seem like a quaint relic from a past age. But even when you're on camera, it's just a question of practice.
Luthen!
Oh dear, you found me.
What are you doing here?
I'm afraid that's a secret.
Do you think the pendulum of secret keeping and transparency has maybe swung too far towards one extreme for individuals and the other for institutions? Do you have some private part of your life that you keep to yourself, like a diary? Do you think that these secret keeping tools might help the next time you play Blood on the Clock Tower? Please leave a comment below and let me know what you think. Unless it's a secret. Thank you very much for watching. Don't forget to blah, blah, subscribe, blah, share. And don't stop thunking.